in the book of Revelation, at the latter part of the week, God changed all that. And I have to share with you what he put in my heart. I am praying if he'll let me going back again talking about heaven. But today I want to talk about rest. Hebrews chapter 4 in Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Bible says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have it on my heart just to think today about rest. It is medically documented just how important rest is to our lives. Rest, we are told, helps improve our brain function. Rest helps boost our immune system. Rest helps you fight off disease, and rest allows the body to regain strength, and the list goes on and on. But the fact today is that we often struggle to find real rest our lives with our homes guarded turmoil from fighting one battle after another. Rest is hard to find when your body is racked by pain. It is difficult to rest when you struggle with fear and hurry or depression. If you can't find sleep at night because it seems like your mind just won't shut down from the stress of life, then rest is a problem. We really might not think about it being such a big deal until you can't find it. When you desire rest in your mind and your heart, and you can't find that rest, that's when we really realize the value of rest. Hebrews chapter 4 is about rest over and over. The writer talks about rest. As a matter of fact, in first time, he says, "For there remaineth a rest to the people of God." I believe God desires us to have rest. We are God-led children of Israel out of bondage. God's desire was that they would find rest in the land of Canaan. Canaan's rest was found in a place for them. It came of being right where God desired them to be. But he tells us in this chapter that they could not enter that rest because of their unbelief. If we really understand what the writer is trying to teach us, it is the fact that faith and rest isn't the real rest that God intends us to have. What is saying is that real rest God rest is only found in Jesus Christ. There is rest that we find in Christ as we come to Him as our Savior. Rest from sin's power and pressures. That is what Jesus had in mind in Matthew 11, verse 28, when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The people of His day were told by the Pharisees and religious leaders that you gotta do this, gotta do that, God will pay these things, gotta act certainly. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are laboring, striving to do all they say, and I will give you rest." I thank God there is rest in our Savior from our sins. There is also an ultimate rest that we'll find when we get home. There is a place called heaven where we'll rest in the glories of God's presence beyond the heartaches, beyond the struggles of this life. But I believe, thank God, that there is an intermediate rest for God's children. I'm talking about rest after salvation, rest before we get home, rest right now that God desires us to have. I want to share with you three things and I'll be done. Where do we find this kind of rest I'm talking about? First of all, I believe it found in the superiority of our Savior. Verse 14, He says, seeing Him, that we have a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Again, the emphasis is in this chapter on rest, the real rest isn't found in a particular place, but real rest is found in a particular person. I am thankful that he says emphatically, without apology, that we have a great high priest. I am thankful that we have a great high priest. The book of Hebrews is a book that stresses time and time again the thought of better things. The writer says, hold up testament sacrifices were good, but in Christ we have something better. Says the Old Testament priesthood was good, but in Christ we have something better. Says the Old Testament priests were men, but in Christ we have a better priest. Why? Because they were simply men. In time, they passed away. But our high priest, says he passed into the heavens. Thank God he is our eternal high priest. Says in Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save him to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank God we have a priest on our behalf there interceding for us. I thank God that he was willing to come to this earth, die for our sins, raised the third day, ascend back to heaven, and now sits at the right hand of God, making the intercession for me. Thank God. The writer says, let us hold fast our profession. Don't waver. Don't lose hope. Don't let your faith become so shaken, because we have a superior high priest. Thank God today. I'm glad for my superior Savior. Secondly, the writer says that rest is just found in the superiority of our Savior. But rest is also found in the sympathy of our Savior. Verse 15, for we have God and high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Too many in that day, their idea of God was that He was apathetic to the needs and the plights of men. They had the idea that God was far distant, that He neither cared for nor intervened in the lives of men. All of that was proven false by the coming of Jesus Christ. Back in the second chapter, back in verse, I believe it is 14, the writer says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means to help, come to the aid. Thank God. I'm glad that Christ is a sympathetic Savior. Bible said he was touched with the healing of our infirmities. Those two words, touched and feeling, both mean sympathy. Idea is sharing the experience of another. But he said he is sympathizing about our infirmities. Speaks of our weaknesses, our sickness, our sorrows, our difficulties. Says that he was tempted in all points, every way. He said, like as we are, yet without sin, perfect, perfect Savior. But he is a sympathizing Savior. Thank God he cares about us. I thank God he understands our hurts. I thank God he understands our weariness. Thank God he understands broken hearts. I thank God he identified with all that we face so that he could sympathize with us. R. Ken Hughes says in his commentary about this verse, says Christ's instrument was just like ours in every way. He took that instrument, that body, to heaven with him. It is his priestly body. And when a cord is cut in the weakness of our human instrument, it resonates in his. He said there is no note of human experience that doesn't lay on Christ's exalted instrument. Why was he saying, preacher? He said when he ascended back to heaven in a body, that it is a body that connects with us. That when I hurt, he hurts. When I am weary,
He understands that weariness.
When I take rest,
He cares. He cares.
That's why He's able to help us when we're in our weakness. When we need rest, we can find it in the One that truly understands us. I believe rest, real rest, is found in the superiority of our Savior, in the sympathy of our Savior. But I believe, lastly, it's found in the sufficiency of our Savior. Having said all that, verse 16, he says, let us therefore, because of all of these things, come boldly unto the throne of grace. That word boldly means with an open outpouring of the heart. It is the idea that we can come with confidence, pouring out our hearts, telling Him everything, telling Him anything that weighs on our heart. But He said to the throne of grace, I am so thankful He did not say to a throne of judgment, there is a day that throne will be a throne of judgment on sin and sinners. I'm thankful He did not say to a throne of justice, God of God's justice, I'd be in hell. But thank God He said, throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy takes care of any of my past failures. And grace takes care of every present need that I have right now. Notice He said, help in time of need. That actually means at the appropriate time. At the right time. God never is too early. And He is never too late. But He's always right on time. Always. To give what I need. When I call on Him, say, God, be merciful. I've failed You so much. But God, I need Your help in this time of need. in the last 24 hours. I have heard about heartbreaking things. A lady I pastored at Concord, a friend, went home to be with God through a sickness she had. I have heard about my niece's boyfriend who is in the hospital right now in ICU on a ventilator. I heard about people that are friends of mine from days past that God message yesterday. They are not to show up at their place of work tomorrow because the company is out of business. They were told they would have insurance till August 31st. It's gone. They're scrambling, trying to figure out what do we do now. Just this week, in our own church family, Henry found out chemotherapy lies ahead for him with his cancer. It's all over the place. People's lives and homes are breaking in their hearts because of all that's happening. Whether it's sickness, whether it's a job loss, whether it's death of a friend, these things seek to steal our rest. They want us to be anxious, to worry, to fear. But I want to tell you, there is a place of rest. Not in a place like a cabin in the mountains, but it's in the person of Jesus Christ. There is rest from our fears, rest from our frustrations, rest from our worries, rest because of the superiority of our Savior, because of the sympathy of our Savior, and the sufficiency of our Savior. Thank God He has grace to help in the time of need, the appropriate time, the perfect time, the right time, right when you need it. I've been there myself. I've had those nights where my bed seemed so hard. mind, like a tape recorder, playing over and over the things I was dealing with, things I was facing. I woke up with it, walked all day with it, had it with me in my easy chair when the sun set, because I could not shake it. Till I took it all to Him, found the rest I needed in a Savior that cares. Could you be there today? Is it possible that there is somebody right here that you would say, "Preacher, been a long time since my heart has been at rest. I lay down and I sleep, but I don't rest because my mind is so burdened and my heart is so heavy." There is a throne of grace. There is one who cares. Why not bring it all to Him? Bow before Him and say, "God, I need some grace to help in my time of need." Brother Kevin, would you give us a song? We're going to stand and we're going to sing. First or two of an invitation. There may be somebody. There is something just heavy on your heart. I believe with all of my heart this was God's message for today. Maybe to help you today or me. Maybe to remind us for something we'll face. But whatever your need, God desires to help you today. While we stand, while we sing, there's a need, would you come?